Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the hottest new show on the internet, where your host is an innovator, motivator, captivator, an inspirator, and an authoress. She comes raw and uncut. Sit back and relax. You're about to be unmasked by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Every Friday, right here, 7:30 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio.
Cried so many hours trying to make it right. Just didn't have the power, and you ignored all my tears in the hopes they disappear. I tried to let it go,
but I can't.
You just don't want to know. And if I had a dime for every time I tried to call your name, oh, tell me I'd be wealthy. Learned that I could cope.
Well, 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 well. I discovered I could make it.
Oh, in nights so long and cold, so cold, you don't know how cold.
I discovered I could take it. Oh.
Now I wouldn't change a thing, no, no. Not for the knowledge, not for the knowledge that I've gained. Let me say it like this, I learned that I could grow.
But I'm over, anybody know what I'm talking about this evening?
Hello, everybody. This is authoress Terry E. Lyle and my co-host, Shalonda. And this is our first show of the new year, 2014. And I first want to start by giving all honor to God for being here, being in my right mind and body. And I just want to thank him for blessing me and keeping me. And if you be honest with yourself, we all have something to bless God for. You know, and I hope that you start your year off in 2014 with better health, better prosperity, and a clear mind. And with that being said, I just want to acknowledge that today we have a wonderful guest on. This is Minister Gregory Damon Patterson. He is a youth minister under Grammy Award-winning Hezekiah Walker. And I want to share something about him with y'all so that when y'all talk to him, y'all can call in and ask questions. Now, the body of Christ received a gift from God when Gregory Patterson was born. Therefore, it was by divine appointment that he followed in the footsteps of his grandmother, Mother Virginia McLean, when he acknowledged his call into the ministry at the early age of 14. Minister Patterson was educated in the Scotland County, North Carolina public education school system. Afterwards, he attended North Carolina A&T State University, where he received a bachelor's degree in business administration with a minor in public administration. Further, Minister Patterson received a theological degree from Shaw University in Raleigh, North Carolina. Minister Patterson has traveled extensively for 12 years, speaking and singing in conferences and local churches. He has been blessed to travel both nationally and internationally. Some of the countries he's visited included Barbados, Canada, Jamaica, Japan, London, and the Virgin Islands. Minister Patterson has a special love for the young people. He is a living testimony for the youth of today. His life demonstrates three examples. The first one is that God can keep you from a young age. The second is that God can use you in the days of your youth. And the third one is that God will remember you and bless you when you are older for choosing to follow him while you were young. The scripture tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. To that end, the Lord has elevated the Minister Patterson's ministry as it has been found pleasing in his sight. And in April 2004, Minister Patterson had been ordained an elder by the Pentecostal Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ Incorporated. Currently, Minister Patterson, he is attending the Love Fellowship Tabernacle in Brooklyn, New York, where Pastor Hezekiah Walker is senior pastor under the jurisdiction of Bishop Kenneth Moles. And he served as a youth minister and a former member of the stellar Grammy Award-winning LFT Tabernacle Choir. So this young man has been doing a lot, and he's been praising God and been a living sacrifice and testimony for all of us. But we're going to give him a big round of applause and welcome to our show. Hello, how are you, Elder Gregory D. Patterson?
I'm wonderful, and thank you for that wonderful welcome.
Oh, you're so welcome, darling. You know, a lot of people don't know that I've made friends with you on Facebook, and anybody who has a Facebook account will also always see some insight that you post that is helpful for your better living, and I appreciate you for doing that. But since you came into the ministry at 14, what was your life like prior to the age of 14?
Prior to the age of 14, I mean, I've pretty much been in church all my life. So, you know, I'm a product of my grandmother. I mean, she saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And, you know, I'm forever indebted to God first and then my grandmother.
Amen, amen. You know, that's true in a lot of situations and families. Sometimes it's not the immediate family. Sometimes it's the grandparents, because I'm a grandmother myself, and I'm trying to minister to the mental stability and moral outcome of my grandkids. So thank God for the grandmothers and the parents and the fathers hanging out there and doing the right thing. And with that being said, I just want to quickly say I want to thank everybody from north to south, east to west that's listening in tonight. And if you want to call in and talk to Minister Patterson, make sure you dial 347-945-6003 and hit the number one key. That will let us know you got a question. And I want to say a special shout-out to some friends of mine, Elder Curtis Holt and his lovely wife Lillian Holt, and a friend of mine, Carla Talley, you know, and there's so many of y'all I could say hello to, and James Halsey, but you know who you are. I love you all, and we're going to get back to Minister Patterson, but I see my co-host Shalonda want to ask you a question first.
Okay.
Good evening, Elder Patterson. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How old are you exactly?
I will be 36 on Sunday, January the 5th.
Ooh, happy birthday early.
Well, thank you very much.
But you know, he looked like about 22. He looked like a little baby.
Oh, wow.
He does. I've seen all 10,000 of his selfies. I've seen every last one of them.
Yeah.
He's really handsome, he is. But what I wanted to ask was that since you are in the, you work underneath of Hezekiah Walker, what special ministries do you lead in that church for the youth in that area or community?
Well, presently I have a full-time job as well. So I work for KPMG, which is the audit firm. So they move me around a lot. So before my two-year transition to Dallas, you know, I was very active in, you know, various ministries, but I had to take a step back to focus on my career and to focus on my writing. So I'm in Dallas until March 1st, and then I go back. I just got back home from New York. So, you know, and my goal is to actually teach in the Bible college, because we have a Bible college. And, you know, I have a seminary degree, and that's one of my goals. I want to teach a lot of the younger ministers that are coming up now.
Okay.
Oh, that's wonderful. I do see that we have a caller whose last four digits of their phone number is 8863 that want to ask you a question, Elder Patterson. So, caller, are you still there? Caller, your last numbers are 8863.
Yes, I'm here.
Hello,
I'm here.
Darling.
Hello. I'm calling from Larnberg, North Carolina.
Well, nice to have you calling in. Welcome, welcome.
I am blessed to be able to witness my cousin. He is my cousin.
Well, go ahead and tell us about your cousin and anything you would like to share.
Yes, and I'm so excited to be able to, you know, to be able to call and just congratulate him on all of his achievements and to tell him, you know, tell the world how awesome of a young man that he is, because I did witness him growing up. I was there when he preached his initial sermon, you know, because he's actually younger than me, but he's been a light to me because of his witness and the things that he has already went through. It has been
amen.
I'm excited about what he's doing now and continue to do, and I just want to tell him that I love him and I thank God for you.
Thank you very much. That means a lot. This is one of my favorite cousins. I know the voice. It's my cousin Pam, and I text her all the time. Even when I was growing up, her mother was very integral in my ministry when I first started out. I mean, she was right there with me, and I share a story with a lot of people. I can always see her whenever I'm going through, holding up her little handkerchief, hitting me in the back, telling me to go on. She taught me one of my first songs, God Knows We're Gonna Rest So Sweet in Jesus When the Sun Goes Down.
All right. Well, I'm so glad, Pam, you took the time to call in and validate what I already felt in my spirit about Gregory, because you can't listen to what a person say and all the time he has some encouragement, you know. So I thank God for putting his hand upon his life, because we got a lot of young people out there that don't know their head from their, like they say, your tail, but, you know, we got to keep through. Now, I know I'm letting Gregory know right now on the other half of the show, you're going to sing some a cappella for us, because you ain't getting off of my show without singing. But I want to share with them what you went through, because people don't know that way long time ago you almost lost your life to, I think it was kidney disease or whatever you had.
Yeah, well, basically, it's been 5 years. Well, it's been 5 years now. You know, like I said, I worked for an audit firm, and I was down in Miami, and I got sick, and I thought I had the flu. And, you know, they sent me back home, and my local hospital treated me for the flu. And it didn't get better, but it got worse. And they took me back to the hospital, and they kept saying that I just had maybe some pneumonia or something like that. And when they got me to another hospital, they assessed me again and realized that I was in total renal failure, and my kidneys were working at 1%. And so they immediately hooked me up to a ventilator, and, you know, pretty much I needed an emergency kidney transplant, and, you know, I didn't have the money for a transplant, and I didn't have, you know, the insurance, because my insurance dropped me because I was out of network. So my mother had decided to take me off of life support because my family couldn't afford the burden and the cost.
My Lord.
So they actually flew me from one hospital because that hospital didn't want to be liable for, you know, the liabilities, because one hospital had made a mistake, not knowing that what they were doing, they were flying me to life. They had already made a decision that by 4 o'clock they were going to turn off the ventilator. But we all know that it's not over until God says it's over. So, within that short time span, you know, God, you know, he breathed back into my body and my kidneys began to work. And they came back and told me that I was going to have to take dialysis for the rest of my life. And a few weeks later, I went back and I started taking treatment. And, you know, my doctor told me that he had never seen anything like this before, but my kidneys were working at 100%. And that doctor, that particular doctor, he paid that bill completely. I owed the hospital almost $200,000, and they paid that hospital bill. Then I wrote a book about it. He took the pain, but he left the memory.
Yes, we're going to discuss your book a little later in the show, but, oh, my God, you mean to tell me they was going to turn off the life support and everything, and I'm so glad that doctor decided to keep it on, because like a member of my church, Joe Colquitt, would say, prayer changes things, and if you don't believe it, I'm a living proof that prayer can change things in your life.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
With that being said, we're going to take a small break, and anybody after we come back from the break, we would like to talk to Elder Gregory D. Patterson. Call in to 347-945-6003 if you got a question you want to ask him, because I'm sure he'd be more than happy to share with you his life, as well as if you got a question for the host, we'd be more than happy to oblige you as well. So stay tuned until we come back and go get some water, get some refreshment, run to the bathroom, and come back and join us when we be back here in 2 and 2 with Elder Gregory D. Patterson.
Of
my shoulder. The door is wide open for you. The door is open for me.
Welcome back. This is authoress Terry E. Lyle, Unmasked, And our guest today is Elder Gregory D. Patterson, and that song that just played was O.J.'s Stairway to Heaven. And on the top of the hour, the song that was played was I'm Over It Now, They Just Don't Want to Know by Pastor Marvin Winans. We had was talking before the break about how Gregory Patterson has done so many things. He's a minister. He also is an author. He has written a book, and we want to discuss that. And we talked about his illness, and we're just going to recap on the fact that he had kidney failure. His mother wanted to pull the plug. The doctors counted him out. But at the last minute, God counted him in, and that's how God would do it in your life. When you think all hope is gone, you need to pray and be sincere and call on the one person that can change it, our Holy Father. And we want to welcome back Elder Gregory D. Patterson and my co-host, Shalonda. How you doing, Gregory?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, dear. I want to touch on a little bit about when did you come about writing your book, after your episode with kidney failure, or you always had it in your heart that you wanted to write a book?
It would have had to be like something that was inspired after the kidney failure. I never really wanted to, you know, like be on the front line as per to say. I was just satisfied with just traveling, preaching, being an evangelist. But I think that, you know, there are different levels of ministry, and I think that there are other ways that you can reach people versus just being in the pulpit, because a lot of times people won't come into the church, but they'll actually pick up something and read it, or they'll log on Facebook and read a quote.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. Well, what's the title of your book, and let people know how to get a hold of your book, and let's give us some insight about the book.
Well, the book that I wrote, it was called He Took the Pain, But He Left the Memories. It was published about 5 years ago after the kidney failure. It was republished a year ago through another company out of Philadelphia, and, you know, we're waiting on a better deal. I mean, because the first project was like self-published, so we were only able to print 2,000 copies, so, you know, those expired, and, you know, we're working on something better now, even better now.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I see my co-host over there. She pointing to herself like, point, let me talk. Okay, Shalonda, darling, go ahead and say what you want to say.
I just wanted to say that I can relate to the experience that you had. I actually had a pulmonary embolism in it was July the 7th of 2006 it was 1 month after I had a stillborn. And I just was home. My fiancé, he was gone to work, and my five-year-old was in the house asleep. And I collapsed in the floor. I don't know what got me through the night. I don't know what got me up, the strength enough up just to get to my phone, because I was literally in the floor with no motion. And I was calling on my son. He wasn't waking up. But to God be the glory. I made it through the night. For some reason, I just got to fight. It had to be like 8 o'clock in the morning. Like, I just have to get up. And I got to my phone and dialed 911, and like 2 minutes after I spoke to someone at 911 and said, I just need help at my house. It's just me and my child in here, and I feel like I'm dying. And my fiancé opened the door. He came home early from work because he couldn't get in touch with me all night. And the next thing I know, I woke up. I was in hospital in this big scan thing. They scanned my entire body. Come to find out I had a pulmonary embolism and two clots in my legs, and it all stemmed from, it was growing from when I had my stillborn. And I've just been through so much. Like 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with diabetes, and that very day, it was my twin's birthday, and we actually took him to an amusement park, and I felt bad all day. And when I went home, my boyfriend took me to the hospital, and my sugar was so high that they couldn't measure it in the emergency room. They had to send it to the lab. And when I got the results back from the lab, my sugar was at 946.
Oh, my Lord.
The month before that, my best friend passed away, and her sugar was 720 when they tested her in her autopsy. But I was almost 200 points more than her, and I was still walking, talking, you know, moving, driving. I went to work the day before and everything. So I've been blessed many times over and saved many times over. Even though I'm still looking for what am I here to do, I thank God every day that I get to see my children grow. So I just wanted to say that I really know when you say that he took your pain, but he left you with the memories. Because there's so much that I remember and then so much that I don't really recall. I can see little snippets. It's not like a full picture of what happened during those times. It's just little snippets that I could put together. Like I came, I was conscious, I wasn't. I was conscious, I wasn't, which was a really scary experience. And I always talk to people who went through those types of experiences with me because it seems like they're the only ones that really know and understand how scary but how enlightening that experience is.
Wow, we thank you for that testimony, Shalonda. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's scary, especially when you just got a young child in the house. And it had to be scary for an elder as well because to have that onset what he thought was pneumonia, and he went home and right away, it was like a fast diagnosis. You think pneumonia, then they say your kidney's failing, then they say that we don't have no donor, then they say we're going to pull the plug. So in a matter of time frame, Elder, how long did you go from assuming you had pneumonia to almost dying from kidney failure?
It happened in November, like a week right before Thanksgiving. That's when I was in Miami and I got sick. But like I said, I was thinking that I had the flu or, you know, something like, of that essence. And I think they diagnosed me with the kidney failure around December 18th. So it was all within like a three-month time span.
Well, you said that your mother was going to pull the plug because of impending possible medical costs. You know, I thought that the doctors in the hospitals had a oath that they swore to that they have to keep people living, do the most they can to keep you alive. It's not about the cost. It's about, you know, doing the right thing. You mean to tell me they wanted to do that as well because you didn't have enough insurance to cover the cost?
You will be surprised when you're in these situations. It is an oath that the doctors swear into, but whenever you run out of scientific notations or, you know, scientific facts and there's nothing beyond medicine that can cure a certain error or a certain disease or a certain situation, then it's out of the doctor's hands. So, you know, no one wants to be charged for malpractice. So, you know, that's when they, you know, lean it over to a family member and you make a decision. I mean, of course, you can become a vegetable and stay on a life support machine for as long as you would like. Yeah, and the family would just accrue the cost.
Wow. That's frightening to know that, you know, because you would think that if someone is sick and you have your loved ones at your bedside or whatever, you would think that they're fighting regardless of whether or not you have some approved insurance. But you never know until you hear these horror stories such as yourself, and I thank God for you that, you know, you're still here because you're doing
but you
wonderful.
Know, you know, Arthur Terrius, you know, even in my mind, I mean, my mother probably wouldn't know. She knows me. And, you know, going through that state, you know, my thing is I would never want to be a burden on my family. And
right.
Even as I told you, like my second phase of book that I'm actually writing about, you know, just growing up, you know, in church, you know, just going through so many things, I think that I was at the point where if they would have pulled the plug and, you know, I think I was at that point where I was just ready to go as well. Because even after coming out of the hospital and having to take the treatment, you know, I didn't want anybody to see me like this because I thought it was a curse. You know, but a lot of times, you know, God tells us in the Word of God that all sickness is not unto death, but that God, so that God may be glorified. And, you know, this situation has taken me literally around the world. And, I mean, it has blessed my life. And at the time, I couldn't see it as a blessing. But the thing about it is, you know, the Bible tells us that better is the end of a thing than the beginning.
Yeah. You said you didn't want no one to see you like this. What was the problem? Did you lose a lot of weight? Because you're already narrow. If anybody knows you, they know you narrow.
I didn't lose weight because of the med. The steroids in the meds that had blew me up. I had gotten so big.
Really?
Gotten so dark-skinned. And it was just a lot, you know, because you're laying on the dialysis machine and, you know, I'm laying there for 4 hours a day, and if I had to get up to use the bathroom, I had to be restarted again. So a lot of times you're in there 4 and 5 hours a day. It's almost like a full-time job. And they,
right.
you know, they're drawing the blood out of your body, and you're just laying there. You're watching people pass out. You're watching people, you know, just go through all different types of emotions. And I just, to myself, I mean, I said to God that this cannot be, you know, the end. I mean, you know, if it has to be like this, then, you know, God, you just take me on. I mean, you know, within myself, because, you know, there's a human side to everybody. I mean, I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how saved you are. You know, there's still a reality side of everything. And, you know, even as I was going through the situation, I mean, there were still church folks that judged the situation. And, you know, the first thing they said, okay, you know, God must be paying them back for something that he's done. And, you know, I'll tell people all the time, you know, growing up as a young minister, it was nothing that I really asked for. You know, I know without a shadow of a doubt that this was definitely a call that God has placed on my life, because every time I wanted to throw in the towel, he was right there to throw the towel back at me.
Well, I'm glad he kept you, but I'm shocked that you say that there were church people up in your face trying to insinuate that your illness was a result of something you did wrong. And that's a problem I have today with a lot of church people. They will run people away from your church because they run their mouth mm-hmm. and say stuff that's idiotic, you know, and there's no place for it. But like I said, I thank God that you're still here and still administering. But let me ask you a question about Hezekiah Walker. Everyone knows he's a Grammy Award-winning singer and pastor. But let me ask you, how did he choose you to take those trips with, you know? I mean, what inspired him to choose you that he became your, you know, mentor?
Like I said, I joined forces with him after college when I moved to New York. And, you know, there is no audition for our choir. I mean, it's like it's based really on your availability and just your commitment to God and to the ministry. And, I mean, I think that, you know, he's been in the ministry for such a while that he can understand people's spirit, and he knows who to trust on the road, because you got to remember, whenever you have a limelight, there's always somebody in the background that wants your place. So
right.
you don't want
exactly.
to take people that, you know, are going to try to, you know, overshadow you. And the thing about it, like, my thing is, I've always, you know, had the mindset that if you work on another man's ministry, then God has no other choice but to bless you as well. And that's what I love about the story of David. Even though, you know, God had anointed him to be king, and, you know, David didn't get the big head. What he did whenever the prophet came and anointed him, he went back out to his first work, and he went back out, and he watched over the sheep.
All right, okay. So you mean tell me, David, as a king, he still went out and did the sheep herder routine?
Yeah, because you remember when the prophet came to David's father's house, and, you know, the oil wouldn't flow for none of the brothers. And
mm-hmm.
the prophet knew that God had sent him to that house. So, you know, he asked David's father, you know, is there another son? And he said, okay, yeah, you know, I have little boy David. You know, he's nothing but a sheep herder. He, you know, all he does is just watch over the sheep. And he told him to go get David. And when he brought David to him, you know, the Bible says that instantly the oil began to flow. And even when, you know, the prophet anointed David, you know, right then, David didn't get the big head, because David knew that, you know, there was an order of God. And, I mean, and that's the thing about it. You have to be faithful to your assignment. So David, even after he was anointed to be king, the next king, he went out to finish his assignment watching over the sheep.
Amen, amen. Yeah, everybody who's into the Bible know that King David, you know, he shows that he, like you said, even though you might be spiritual, you're still a man, because he had his shortcomings with Bathsheba and having her husband killed, you know, so he can be with her. But, you know, he got back in line, and he knew that he was wrong, and he asked for forgiveness, and he, you know, spent the rest of his life trying to do what's right by the Lord. And that's what I want to tell people. You know, we all fall short. When we mess up, don't be beating yourself up. Just ask for forgiveness, be sincere, and stand up and get back in line with the other saints. But with that being said, we're going to take another little break so that Elder Patterson can go get him some water, because he looks like he's a little dehydrated. dehydrated under these lights. And if you want to talk to him after break, just call 347-945-6003 and press the 1, and I will know that you have your hands up, and we will get to you as soon as we can. So we're going to take a little break. I'll run to the bathroom, go get you some water, and we'll be right back with Elder Gregory D. Patterson, and he is going to share more about his life growing up in the ministry.
When you've done all you can, and seems like it's never enough, and what do you say when your friends turn away, and you're all stand, watch the Lord see you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, you just stand. Tell me, how do you handle guilt of your past? Tell me how.
And that was a beautiful selection by Donnie McClurkin, Stan. You know, this is our first show in the year 2014, and our guest is Minister Gregory D. Patterson, and I'm glad to have him here, and my co-host is Shalonda. And I just want to say to people, you know, we made it. We made it through 2013, and we didn't make it without any bumps and bruises. I've lost family members. I've had illnesses and sicknesses, and we've all been through something. So we need to understand this is a brand new year. We need to love and embrace the ones in our lives today that are here because, like they used to say, here today and gone tomorrow. Now it's here today and gone today. And when you look around, we will never be the same. So I just want to thank everyone that's listening tonight from north to south, from east to west. I can't mention you all, but I just want to thank you for joining in with us. And I see that we have a caller whose last digits are 0686. They got a question from our guest. Caller, are you still there?
I most definitely am. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Terry, Shalonda, and Pastor Patterson. How you guys doing this evening? This is Gail.
Oh, and darling. Oh, anybody who don't know, I recognize that voice. Gail is a very dynamic woman. She owns her own publishing company. She's an author of 5 books. She's a ghost writer. She's an actress, and she's my friend. I'm so happy to call her my friend because everybody say your friend should be put in the associate category because they will sure make you think twice about calling them a friend. But how you doing, Gail?
I am doing fantastic, darling. Thank you for that fabtabulous warm welcome. I do appreciate that. You know I love you to death, Terry, because you are one real person that I met in 2013, and you crossed over with me to 2014, and hopefully
yes.
God will keep us together for the duration.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. Okay, my question for Elder Patterson. And Elder Patterson, I do appreciate you. You know, you were on my show as well, and I just want to say thank you for that. But what I wanted to ask you was, you had mentioned, this is going a little bit back, you had mentioned that, you know, you were on the ventilator and the hospital had, you said your mom or your parents, they wanted to pull the plug?
Yes, my mother wanted to pull the plug.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Was there any prayer going on before this or during this or she just made a decision that she didn't want to see you in the condition that you were in, and did y'all talk about it before you even got into that condition, or, you know, how did that work out? Because when my mom was ill, she had a living will. She did not want to be resuscitated, and I know being resuscitated is one of the most violent acts that can be put on a body, and I can't understand why they would want to resuscitate somebody anyway once they are gone to bring them back to suffer. I can understand that, but you know, my mother's death was inevitable, and you know, like you said, you was on a ventilator. I've known quite a few people who were on a ventilator who did not make it, and I know a few people who were on a ventilator who did make it. So when was that decision actually made?
Well,
and like I said, was there prayer involved?
There was not a decision. There was not a decision on my part that if I was to ever be in that situation like that at that time, I have one now, to not resuscitate me. I think that my family, they pretty much came up with this decision, as well as some of the local ministers that were in the area, came up with a decision. At the time, a year before, prior to me going on the life support, my father had just passed away. And, you know, I think that they just saw it as, you know, we didn't want to prolong his suffering. And, you know, a lot of times when you're going through a situation like that, if you're not spiritual, then you won't understand what God is doing. So I think that, you know, at the time, you know, my mother couldn't see the larger plan. Of course, my grandmother, she was a little older, and, you know, she had always said that it was in God's hands. And, you know, she always believed that God was going to work a miracle in that situation. And, you know, me, I was out of it. I didn't even know I was in the world, to be honest.
Right.
You know, all the decisions that were being made, they were being made by my immediate family members.
Mm-hmm. And then you had also mentioned that you felt that you wouldn't really want to be functioning at the capacity that you may have thought you would have been functioning once you got off of the respirator. Why was that? Because, I mean, the thought would be in my mind, I'm going to put myself in your shoes, the thought would be in my mind, this is how, I mean, I would really think that it really wasn't my time to go. If I'm to come back, you know, as long as I could breathe and, you know, on my own, and could respond to certain little things, you know, because generally sometimes people, when they come off the respirator, they may be going through other little complications. There was a guy in the hospital, he was on a respirator, and I would go into the room and see him every day, and I would ask God, you know, to help him. I didn't know him from a can of paint, I'm sorry. I didn't know him, but he just looked so, I mean, he was actually dead because he was on a respirator. And one day I was walking down the hall, and someone called me, and when I went back, it was him. He was fully recovered, and I mean, I could not believe it because he was, I mean, he just looked, it was just, I could still see the impression on his face and, you know, how his orifices was leaking, you know, different, it was just horrible sight to see somebody hooked up to a ventilator, and basically all that ventilator is doing is breathing for you. You are not breathing, it's breathing for you. And I would go in there every day and just be, well, what had happened, he was a drug addict, and he, I don't know if he had I really don't know what exactly happened to him, but I know that he was on a ventilator. And like I said, walking down the hall, maybe about a couple of months later, maybe been sooner than that, but just walk. And he called out to me. Now, before all this, he was unconscious. And I went into the room, and I talked to him. I talked to him for a long time, and I told him that, you know, I had been in here every day, and why did you call me? You know, how did you, you know, what, you know, he just called me into the room and just started talking to me. So I'm just thinking that, you know, well, I already know that, you know, God had answered my prayers, and I don't know if anybody else was praying for him, but every day that I went into that room, you know, I asked God to spare him, to help him, you know, and to forgive him for whatever sins he had done on the way. But, you know, that was a miracle in itself because, like I said, most people don't make it off the ventilator, and when they do, they suffer from other complications because my sister's husband was on a ventilator for a couple of weeks or something like that. When he came off, a week later, he died. So, you know, there, I was just wondering, you know, what was the reasoning for, you know, your mom wanting to, you know, pull the plug. So now I know the answer. And also have another question as well. What do you think of these electric ministers that preach on television? In the Bible, it says to go out and preach throughout the world. So what happens to people that are in remote areas that don't have televisions, radios, and things like that? So are these preachers doing, fulfilling their obligations as far as preaching the good news to the people who are in this world?
To answer, oh, you asked me so many different questions in one. Let me see if I can go back to one because I had an answer for that one. Then we'll work our way to the last one.
Okay.
There's going to come a time in every believer's life where you're not even going to have faith for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's when those prayers, I mean, you know, the old folks used to sing the song, I'm sending up my timber every day.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're going to come a time in life, like I said, when you're going to be faced with obstacles and situations where you don't even believe in your own self. And it's not that you don't believe in God. It's just you don't believe in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a believer, as a person that has been out here for so long, like I told you, I've traveled since I was 14 years old, and mm-hmm. that's all I could ever see myself doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back in our first conversation when we had our first radio setting, I told you that even though I was in that situation, the Lord had to remind me that my first call was not to minister, but my first call was to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
So he had allowed mm-hmm. me to go around the world all these years, and now I had to go back to my first call.
he had to take me back to my initial yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember when Saul was on the master's road, Ananias didn't want to lay his hands on him because he knew all the things that Saul had done. But God told Ananias to go and lay his hands on Saul because I'm going to show him what great things he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And before God validates or he anoints anything, he has to try it. And that's not to say that you're not going to be tried in the beginning or the end. You know, it's up to God. I mean, he knows the end before the beginning. I mean, he's an omniscient God. He knows all things. So, you know, I didn't go through a lot in a child state and in my earlier years, but, you know, God allowed me to go through that period of my life to test mm-hmm. what he had put on the inside of me. And
mm-hmm.
I was telling someone just last weekend that even though I was going through that trial, heaven was my biggest cheerleader because they knew that I was going to make it out all right.
Okay.
Amen.
And okay. I'm in a place now that I've got back more than I've ever gave up. I mean, God has tremendously blessed my life. I'm constantly doing radio shows. I'm constantly speaking somewhere or constantly doing, you know, some type of events, dealing with Kidney Foundation. So, you know, before God places you on a certain pedestal or a certain area or elevates you, he's going to always test you because he wants to make sure that your loyalty is not to those things, but your loyalty is to God because he wants to see that even if I take all these other things away, are you still going to serve me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Elder, I have a question, and this question is for the benefit of my listeners. You hear terminologies like elder, pastor, minister, bishop. Could you explain to our listeners the difference or similarities, and what are their requirements?
I mean, they're just really man-made titles. I mean, but those are titles that you picked up from, like, Paul when, you know, he taught Timothy and he set up the different churches. And they're just different offices. I mean, those titles mean nothing to me because, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I came in the world, my name was Gregory DeMond Patterson, and that's what I go by. I mean, you know, I don't like for people to label me as a certain title. I mean, those are just accomplishments that have come along with the walk. But, at, you know, like when I get to heaven and you get to heaven, we're going to be known as brothers and sisters. You know, God's
Amen.
Not coming back looking. He's not coming back looking for no elders and no bishops, no apostles and no prophets and all that stuff. I mean, he's coming back looking for sons and daughters.
Right. Well, right now I belong to the Church of Christ, so I'm already a sister. And we already call the brothers brothers. But, you know, a lot of people that erroneously be calling people reverends in the Bible clearly states reverence, a title is supposed to be used for God and God alone, that we should reverence him. And, you know, like you said, there are titles. But I was just wondering, by you being an elder, are you married?
No, I'm not married. No, I've never been married.
See, I thought that was a requirement to be an elder. You had to be married. Now, I don't know as much about the Bible. I'm still in it, still trying to learn, you know, but I just try to use this radio show to enlighten and educate as well as entertain, depending on the subject title. But like you said, when we get to heaven, we're going to be known by brothers and sisters and sons and daughters of Christ. And I pray that I stay focused and meet you up there on those streets that's paved with gold because I got a mansion with my name on it. I can't wait to get there. But you know something, I'm going to put you in a hot seat because I want you to sing a song for us a cappella. Are you ready? Or do we need to take a break to get your vocal cords together?
Yeah, I thought we were going to do that a little later. We have more callers that
look at your stuff.
Want to talk.
Say that again. So you say you're not ready yet. You need a break before you come back.
We're not ready.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Shalonda, my co-host, got a question for you. And then if she gives you that question, we're going to take a break. You go ahead and suck on some lemons because you're coming back, baby. And we're going to have you sing and show us what you're working with.
No, I think my
Shalonda,
little friend Adrian Blackman is online now. We're going to let him sing for us tonight.
Oh, Adrian Blackman's online?
Yeah.
Who is that? What's his number so I can see who he is? What's his last four digits?
Let me look it up.
Okay.
It should be 7317.
706?
7317, the last four.
Hey, I got you. We're going to bring him in. His name is what? Adrian Blackman?
Adrian Blackman.
Okay. Adrian Blackman, I want you to hold on, darling. Shalonda's going to ask Gregory a question. But when we come back, Adrian, after she asks that question, get ready to pucker up and blow us away into a break. But Shalonda, ask your question real quick. We're going to get Adrian Blackman on the phone.
Okay. I know that you said that you were going back to New York in about a month or two or so.
Yes.
And you're going to get back into the ministries. Do you have any new ideas for ministry to bring in people? I mean, you know, this world is filled with devilish things and
Yes. Meaningful
things. And so now we have to be a little innovative with building new ministries to bring people in so they can learn God and learn a different way. Maybe we can get back on track one of these days. Do you have any ideas for new types of ministries that you could attempt to create in the church?
Well, one good thing that God has allowed for me through this platform is I've partnered with several 501(c)(3)s and different nonprofit organizations, and that's what I'm going to help tighten up when I go back to New York. I'm not only working with my local church and my bishop, but, you know, we're working with a lot of domestic abuse relationships, and, you know, we have several projects that are coming out, actually. I'm actually going to be in a stage play next year, so that's coming up. I have a lot of great projects that are coming up in 2014.
Well,
2014.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. Now, we're going to get Adrian Blackman on the phone. Adrian, are you there, darling?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, don't be bashful because they can't really hear you sing a cappella. Now, don't get mad at me. Gregory is putting you in a hot seat, but baby, show them what you're working with. Pull it out your toes and let it rip.
Not a second or another minute, not an hour or another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way that you've done so many times before. And through doors and open doors, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me. I need you right away. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. Oh, not another second or another minute, not an hour, another day. Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you before, doing doors and open doors, I scratch my hand to thee, searching the world for more, the true best friend I have in need. You're my best friend, I know in thee. I scratch my hand to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. The agony of being alone, the fear of doing things on my own, the tests and trials that come to make me strong, oh, 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 oh. The feelings of guilt, hurt, shame, and defeat, the way that trials that beat upon me. But to know, Lord, that in you I got victory. I need you now, Lord, I need you now. Oh, oh, oh. I need you now, right now, right now, right now. I need you now. Oh, 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 not another second or another minute, not an hour, another day. But Lord, I need you right away.
Yes, Adrian Blackman.
Yes.
made it work, Adrian. Bless your heart, and thank you for that. Ooh, baby.
Hey,
Don't forget, when our show ends, you can go back to the archive and pull up the show and tell your friends, listen to you blow. I felt like I was a judge on Sunday's Best. Baby, you're going to the next round. That's what I'm talking about. And with that being said, anybody want to talk to our guest, Elder Gregory D. Patterson, call in to 347-945-6003 and hit the number one key. Let me know that you want to talk to him. And right now we're taking a break so Elder Patterson can go get some water, suck on some lemons, because he's going to sing and bring represent like Adrian just did, and he's going to have to blow it because Adrian brought it.
He brought it, baby.
You know, oh, man. I'm like, I'm still feeling that. I feel like I got church up in here. But,
Save your goodbyes for the morning light. But don't let me be lonely tonight. Say goodbye and say hello. Sure been good to see you, and it's time to go. I don't want to be lonely tonight. Go away, then tell you. Go on and do as you please. Darling, you ain't gonna see me looking down on my knees. I'm undecided, yes, and your heart's been divided. You've been turning my world upside down, you know. So do be wrong, but do be right, right now, baby. Go on and tell me lies, oh, before me dies. Morning light, but don't let me be lonely tonight. I don't want to go. Please don't let me be lonely. I don't want to be lonely tonight.
Wow, that was a tune called Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight by James Taylor, one of the old dusty hits. And all across America, I know it's cold and brisk. In some places, there's snow on the ground. You either can get snuggled up with someone or you can get snuggled up into the Bible and learn the Word and stand on the Word, because God is, like he said. If they say, who am I? Say, I am that I am. You know, we have anyone who wants to call in to 347-945-6003 and press the 1. Let's me know your hand is raised, because our guest, Elder Gregory D. Patterson, you know, is on tonight. And we have a caller whose last digits are 7363, I believe.
Yes.
And I'll let that caller come in and ask the questions. Caller, are you there? Caller 7363, are you there? Okay, well, we'll take another caller right now and put that call on mute. We have another caller. The digits end in 9429. Caller, are you there? 9429. Hello, I can't
yes.
hear you.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, hi.
Yes.
You can, a question of our guest, Elder Gregory D. Patterson.
Yes, I have a question. For the qualification for elders, he said it doesn't mean anything to him. But what does he say about Patterson?
I never said the qualification of an elder didn't mean anything to me. I said the title.
You said the words, bishop, elders. If I'm not mistaken, he said it doesn't mean anything to you because when Christ God come back, he's coming back for brother and sister.
No, I said I'm not caught up in titles. So just by, you know, being an ordained elder, I mean, it doesn't give me a dickhead. I mean, I'm still a servant of God at the end of the day.
But the Bible says that the elder's supposed to be married.
You said the Bible
and
says that
you're not. You say you're not married.
No, I'm not married.
But it says elder's supposed to be blameless, the husband or one wife,
and
having faith for children.
Elder is a title that is given from the church. I mean, you're reading what Paul when Paul set the church up. I mean, like I said, different titles or set up in different organizations.
In the background, in someone's background, there's a lot of noise. Could you ask whoever's in the background to hold it down so all the listeners can hear the question? Okay, y'all can go ahead.
All right, what were you saying?
Yeah, I was saying that titles are, I mean, the title was given because based on works, not because I'm married and not, you know, don't have any kids.
No, but the qualification of an elder, you're supposed to be married.
Okay, what organization are you relying to?
I'm Church of Christ.
Okay, and that may work in your organization, but every organization is ran completely different, ma'am.
So all, well, I know all of them not set up the same way, but Church of Christ is the...
Okay, I mean,
the Church of Christ died for.
And we don't get caught up in denominations. I mean, so every denomination is totally ran completely
Church
different.
Church of Christ is not a denomination.
Okay,
it's non-denomination.
Well, okay.
All right. I just wanted to ask that.
All right, thank you. God bless you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
We'll go back to caller 7363. You had your hand up. And caller, would you like to say something? Caller?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey.
I can't hear you. Could you speak up, please?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, sure can. How are you? We have our guest, Elder Gregory D. Patterson. Would you like to ask him a question?
Yes, I actually had want to say that I know this man to be a powerful man of God. Over 21 years ago, when I didn't know the Lord and the pardon of my sins, he would always make room to stop by and to tell us about Jesus Christ and to invite us, you know, to fellowship at the ministry to hear the word of the Lord. And I remember, you know, just living, you know, in sin and didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I can say as of this day, you know, over 21 years ago that I'm still, you know, holding on to my relationship with God because this man of God extended the invitation. So I do know that he walks in the power and the anointing of God.
Well, you know, I'd like to say to you that is admirable because that is our purpose. We're here to praise God and bring souls to Jesus. So I'm glad that he helped you get in line with the rest of the saints and follow the word of God. And that's what I pray that you also do, let that be something that he done for you that you will do for someone else.
Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes it just takes just one person to make a significant change in someone's life, And I appreciate that. Like I said earlier, you know, Gregory, even on Facebook, he's always ministering to someone. He always have a word of encouragement, you know, because sometimes we just one step away from, you know, just falling by the wayside. And a lot of times we just need somebody to come up and let us know that we're necessary, we need it, we're loved, we are important. So I appreciate him for doing that, you know, and I appreciate you calling. Is there anything else you would like to say to this young man?
I just want to tell the men of God to be encouraged and keep obeying God. It's better to obey God than men.
All right, and that's the truth. The Bible is true because the Bible is words inspired by God and the holy men wrote down. So, yes, get into the Bible because you can stand on that, and that's wonderful. I see also that my co-host, Shalonda, has another question that she want to ask Gregory. Shalonda, go ahead, darling.
Okay, I actually don't have a question. I just have a comment.
Okay.
Where it was said that in the Bible it states that the elder should be husband of one wife does not necessarily mean that the elder has to be married. It means that if the elder marries, he exhibits marital fidelity to one wife. It doesn't mean
that. Okay, well, Shalonda, for the benefit of our listeners, where are you reading this and so that they can follow you in their own personal Bible?
It's not that I'm reading it in the Bible because, see, the thing about in the Bible where it says it, it's an English translation from the Greek. I just know it from having this conversation over the years. I've had this conversation with a lot of different denominations and non-denominational churches. I've come across this conversation, and as we always went through 1 Timothy, they always explained it as when an elder, a bishop, a pastor, if they're not married, because it was elderly, older people who were taught that an elder had to be married. But from my understanding and my learning under different denominations and different pastors, it was always said that the elder, bishop, deacon, or pastor didn't necessarily have to be married, but when he did marry, he had to exhibit marital fidelity to one woman.
We have another caller, 9429, with their hand up. They want to get in on that conversation about elders. And so, 9429, are you still here?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you had your hand up, so you wanted to make a statement about what my co-host just said?
The Bible is always right, no matter what man teach us. And the Bible is wrote by God-inspired men, and nothing in the Bible is a lie. People teach us different things, but I believe what the Bible says.
Absolutely, and I believe the same reading that you
read.
And
this is in Timothy.
1 Timothy.
Go ahead.
Read to.
Excuse me. Dropping stuff trying to find my Bible because I want to continue on this conversation.
It's in 1 Timothy and Titus.
Okay. 1 Timothy, what chapter?
3rd chapter, 2nd verse.
3rd chapter.
I'm not listening.
Okay. Well,
I'm sorry. I just
so anytime you want to jump in, you can say something while I look, because I want to be on point with the, with this conversation. 1 Timothy chapter 3, you said?
Yes,
chapter 3, 2nd verse.
Okay.
And I'm actually just pulling it up because I can't run out there where all the children are and get my Bible.
Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and what verse are we talking about?
In verse 2, but you can start with verse 1 if you want to.
Right, absolutely.
I'm going to read that for the benefit of our listeners. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. It's 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm starting with verse number 1. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Bishop is also considered to be overseer or elder. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, and not given to wine, nor striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Okay. Now, in the King James Version, chapter 2 says he must be the husband of one wife.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me...
So it's saying you must be married.
No, it's saying that if you're a husband, if you're a husband, you have to be of one wife. You can't be participate in infidelity. If you're
in my
husband,
understanding, you have to be married. It didn't say a single person.
Yeah, but I mean that's when Paul was teaching to the Greek. I mean basically, I mean when he was speaking to the church, I mean he was saying that if you like, it goes back to what she was saying. He was saying if you were married. He didn't say
it doesn't,
that,
but
you know,
it doesn't have if
to,
nope. It,
that's
it
because,
doesn't have if any place
you have
in there.
You have to cross reference, man.
I have
because
I mean,
the Bible was actually written in Greek, so the of course the English translation would be. Different. Everybody interprets things. We could all read the same paragraph in any book and interpret it completely different. Not to say that you're wrong in your belief, but what he was saying was that in his belief, and I mean, like I said, I've had this conversation with many people over the years, and their belief, a whole lot of people do believe, I've come across, my grandmother believed it, that an elder had to be married. She could not go into an elder's church who that man wasn't married. And if his wife had passed, he could not see or court another woman. That was my grandmother's belief. But my belief in it and the way that, like I'm on a website now that has a whole conversation on it. And it says, what does the statement that a bishop, elder, pastor must be the husband of one wife mean? And it says if his... he goes through about the different types of wives, if they die, what can happen, and things like that. And it breaks it down and says that if the elder, bishop, pastor, or deacon is married, then he has to be of that one woman, meaning he can't see anybody else. He can't court anybody else. He has to be faithful to that one woman. But if he's not,
that's what all are supposed to be.
All are supposed to be faithful. It has to do with elders or whatever titles. If a person is married, seeing someone else—that's adultery. That has nothing to do with
that's
her.
Right.
That's right.
Correct.
Because that's not to say that the person is not going to get married somewhere down the line. I mean, you know, that's the reason why we have.
Are you saying that an elder is only entitled to have one wife, and he cannot remarry if that wife dies, or he's
not? Yes, he can. He can remarry if the wife dies. He can remarry.
Could I say something?
Yes.
Oh yes. Go ahead.
Okay. No disrespect to you, Miss, I don't even know your name or anything like that, but who taught you the Bible? Or did you just sit down and read it and made a determination that this means this and this means that?
No, I didn't sit and determine. I was taught.
So you was
taught. I was
taught
from Church of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you keep
insisting. And I know
insisting. Right, you keep insisting that the elder's supposed to be married, this and that.
I'm talking about what the Bible says, because the Bible, it doesn't have if or and.
Okay,
has,
well, you say that the Bible says that the elder's supposed to be married. That's probably a true statement. But if an elder chooses not to be married, there's nothing wrong with that, because it does not say that a person has to be this and has to be that to serve
God. Well, just
God.
Like you say in your faith, in your faith,
I didn't
faith,
say anything
guess,
about
is,
my faith, darling. I didn't
I
say,
say
anything
in your
about
faith,
my
it probably
faith.
Is true, because people do have different faiths.
No,
and
I didn't say anything
the day,
about my
Paul
faith,
Paul and Timothy
though.
Were never proved to be married or ever had families.
And
Paul and Timothy never
my
married
faith.
And never
so
had
So therefore,
families.
You just make the conclusion, and, you know, you're the type of person that I wouldn't even have
conversation
as far as religion is concerned, exactly. Because it would turn into an argument, and I don't argue over religion.
Well, I'm not trying to argue.
I know you're not, but you're just making the statement that it says in the Bible that the elder is supposed to be married. It says a lot of
yes.
things in the Bible. A lot of things it says in the Bible, but people pick and choose what they want to believe in that Bible and what they don't
want
to believe in that Bible. And I actually, to myself, I believe that some of the things in the Bible are not true simply because over the years, man has changed the Bible to fit different things in their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion.
Yes,
you have your
some
opinion,
people have changed
and you stick to your opinion. But it's just,
okay,
you know,
well,
you keep insisting.
I'm going to say this. What I want to say is that we're going to take a short break, and I know that if you go to your Bibles, the Bible will tell all of us and all the listeners that when it comes to a time, Jesus is going to judge the quick and the dead for our works and the things that we have done. So let us not be caught up, you know, saying whose theology is wrong. Learn the Word of God. Ask for discernment of wisdom. You know, have the faith that you have. No, because if you're messed up, he's going to judge you accordingly. And, you know, I don't want to get into no dispute about religion and Bibles, but, you know, I have a belief like this caller, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, you taught what you taught, I'm taught what I'm taught. But we all going to have to be accountable, and salvation is an individual thing. And when we come back, we're going to take a break. I want everyone who want to talk to our host or our guest, call in 347-945-6003 and hit number one. Let me know you got your hand raised, and we're going to come back because we got to be able to hear Elder Gregory D. Patterson sing for us and clear up this misconception about the Bible. We want the man of God to tell us what we need to know, and we're going to come back in two and two, and we want y'all to stay tuned and hang in there with us because it's worth it. Another great tune by Pastor Marvin Winans, I Feel Like Going On. You know, and before the break, we had a question pertaining to the qualifications of an elder, and we had a caller on here, 9429, and we also have another caller, 63. So we're going to put both those callers on. First, we want to come to caller 7363. You have a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, caller 7363.
I'm on my doing
Hello,
yeah,
can you hear me?
Are you here?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Yes, ma'am. I had wanted to say, just what if the man of God chooses not to be married? You know, I don't think that would change what God has called the man of God to do for the nation. The apostles in the Word of God, it doesn't mention that they were married as well, but yet God used them, and the power of God rested on them to do many miracles. And I also, you know, wanted to say that the apostles suffered many of things, and although our ears hear what this man of God has suffered and went through, yet there's still a spirit of judgment and a spirit of doubt, you know, that would try to attack God's people, you know, but yet it does not change what God wants to do or the anointing that he has called or ordained or purposed to rest on this man of God's life.
Well, that's a good question, caller. And that is a really good question, Elder Gregory D. Patterson. What happens when God calls someone to do his work, and they are not married?
Well, if you go to 1 Corinthians 7 and 8, and if you summarize that, if you look at the qualifications and you realize that Paul was not married and he wrote these books, and if marriage was a qualification, then Paul would have disqualified himself.
That's right.
Wow.
So
and what book is this again?
This is 1 Corinthians. This is 1 Corinthians 7 and 8. And the book of Acts.
Okay, well, I'm going to put the other caller back on, let everybody get their opportunity to say what they want to say. This is for caller numbers ending 9429. Are you still there, caller?
Yes.
Okay. You can talk to Elder Gregory D. Patterson, and he said that in the book of Corinthians, it says they don't have to be, and it says Paul was not was not married. But he was
no, Paul wasn't married. He wasn't married. I agree with that.
I'm confused. Okay.
And you're quoting a scripture that Paul wrote. If that, like I said, if that was the case, he would have disqualified himself.
That's right.
Where was Paul an elder at? He was an elder?
He wasn't an elder, but he was an apostle.
He was an apostle.
So he was higher than the elder.
I know he was higher than an elder. But I know he wasn't married.
Okay. So he would have never taken on the taken on the office of an apostle if that was the qualification.
Well, you don't have to be married to be an apostle.
Huh?
She just contradicts herself. That's what that is.
No, I didn't. I said elder and apostle is different.
You contradict yourself.
Elder and apostle are two different people.
Regardless of whatever they are, you contradict yourself.
I haven't contradicted myself.
Well, God bless you, darling.
To God be the glory. Could we just move past that one?
I just got a question because now I'm confused. Okay, I'm still growing in my knowledge of the Bible, and I'm not going to tell no lie. I know it all because I don't. That's why I go to church, and that's why I listen to godly people because I'm trying to learn.
I don't know it all either.
That's right. But what I'm saying is if a person is an elder and that's lower than an apostle, okay, I'm thinking, like, if, for instance, if I'm going to school, if I have to graduate, I have to go from kindergarten to sixth grade, okay, to be able to be a graduate in senior high, there's certain steps I got to go through, right? So if that is true, then elder is a step to being an apostle. Is the same qualification that elder has got to apply to the apostles?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, I follow you where you're going.
Yeah, I don't know, and I ain't trying to start no confusion because I can't tell everybody what I know about the Bible. You know, everybody probably know more about it than me, but I'm just saying, I'm just thinking about as in how we go through school, at certain levels you have to meet before you can meet the final level of graduation, getting your degree, blah, 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 blah. So I don't think, unless I'm very intelligent, that I can skip sixth grade and a couple of grades to get to high school without having those qualifications. I'm just trying to make it visible for the people out there listening because a lot of people are confused about the Bible, you know, and sometimes I just tell people get into the Bible for yourself and ask for the wisdom and discernment because everybody might have their own spin on what they read, you know, and if a lot of people are saying one thing, but look what happened. We had that Waco, Texas, and we had Big Daddy Kane. We had Elijah Muhammad. We had all these people that lied, Jim Jones, you know. So I tell people, pray about it, get into the Bible, learn it for yourself, because when we come before judgment, salvation I truly know is an individual thing, and what you do now is going to depend on your outcome, where you're going to live in eternity, you know. And I'm just going to leave it at that note. Call is 7363. Is there anything else you would like to say?
I was just, even the book of Joel, you know, the young lady, you know, that was contradicting the word of God, you know, how the book of Joel say he'll pour his spirit upon all, you know, flesh, his sons and his daughters, you know, we shall dream dreams, you know, we shall prophesy. We said, so it's God that does the pouring out.
I haven't contradicted nowhere in the Bible.
Well, you have.
The apostle don't have to be married. I said an elder.
But if the man of God chooses not to be married, it does not change God's mind of whatever God has called him to do. If he chooses, what if the man of God, Paul and him, they had the gift to be kept. So what if the man of God, he just chooses for the Lord to keep him? And God uses him any way that he wants. He may never.
You can be used without being an elder or bishop. You can be used without being an elder.
Yeah, well, if God called him to walk in the anointing as an elder or whatever God chooses for him to walk therein, it's not for us to pass judgment on.
An elder has to have desire to be to do that work. An elder has to have desire to be an elder.
Wow.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay. Well, if he has to desire to be an elder, but we know it's God's hands that has thrust him into the kingdom work to walk in that position. I mean, who are we to sit in judgment when God
all are supposed to do the kingdom work?
That he'll pour his spirit upon all flesh. He'll take the crackhead off the corner and he'll anoint them. He'll take the prostitute.
That's true. He sure can. That's true. So God can do all things. God can do all things.
Okay, and that's all that we're saying tonight is that God can do all things except fail. So because he chose to use this man of God, what we should be doing as a believer is pushing him. He chose not to be married. He chose to do kingdom work and to be sold out for God. So who are we just to pull that he don't want to be married? He's not married.
Let me tell you this. I'm going by what the Bible says. When I was in the Baptist Church,
yeah,
I was a member of Friendship Baptist Church before I got in Church of Christ.
Okay.
We had deacons there.
Why'd you leave one church
they
and
had
to another?
They would not put anyone there that wasn't married.
Well, maybe, you know, the Bible says
that's
that you should rightly
the
divide the word of truth. And I think that you may need to go back and do some more studying and seek the face of God and ask God to give you revelation and open up understanding.
I have already done that. He has given. I believe what the Bible say because man will tell you anything.
Okay, well, let me just stop right now for a minute. We have another caller who wants to get in on this conversation. The caller, your number is ending 1761. If you got a question for our guest or our special guest, Elder Gregory D. Patterson, caller, are you still there?
Yes.
Caller 1761, is there anything you would like to say?
Yes, I would like to come in this conversation. First, I'm a Church of Christ member, South Girard Church of Christ in Phoenix City, Alabama. And I wanted to read Philippians 2:2 to the person who's arguing over the deacon and the elder. If you are where you should be scripturally, it says here, Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. So if you believe in what you're saying, we're supposed to be babbling and over stuff that the Bible says. There's no way we all reading the Bible and getting it all different because we're supposed to be all one accord anyway.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We need to be on one accord.
So something's wrong somewhere.
There's a breakdown somewhere. You know, maybe
yeah,
it could be
we shouldn't be arguing over what the Bible says because it's right there in front of us.
Well, Elder Gregory D. Patterson, what you have to say? Because you're the man right now, the man of God that's on the panel, and I'm sure you know more about the Bible than I do.
Well, like I said, I would have to co-sign with the sister. I mean, you know, there is no need to debate on the Word of God. I mean, like I said earlier, you know, if those were the qualifications, then, you know, Paul would have simply disqualified himself. I mean, and even if you read...
But that's vain babbling. That part right there is irrelevant because Paul is not the issue here.
He's not the issue.
He's an apostle. That's 2,000, 3,000 years ago. And we're still talking about Paul. The Bible says you do have to be married. Everything done in the church, you can't just do it any kind of way if you read the Bible.
But if that was the case, then his title wouldn't be elder because the person in the church would have said, hold on. In the Bible, it says that you're supposed to be married and have one wife. He wouldn't have never became an elder. He wouldn't be wearing the title for nothing.
But he's not an elder.
Behind.
Paul was an apostle. So he has nothing.
Right.
Ain't no apostles walking around today.
But you would go from deacon...
Paul was an apostle.
Pastor,
he was not a deacon, and he was not an elder.
Bishop.
He was an apostle. if you read Acts, where he became an apostle, that's not pertaining to us today. But what we all can do is get your minister, with our minister, Church of Christ minister, and we can all have a discussion about the Bible and see who's right and who's wrong scripturally. Because
if
the Bible
is no
don't
right
say
or wrong,
it, the Church
God,
of Christ
when,
only
yeah,
believe
yeah,
it is the Bible.
When God, when Jesus
yeah,
comes back,
no,
we'll find
there
out.
There is no right or wrong when it comes
right
to the Word of God.
It's your interpretation, and that's why I stopped arguing the fact a long time ago. Because
well, do you believe
I'm of a different
that many
generation.
False prophets
one
have
second,
gone out
one
into
second,
the world?
Ma'am, one second, ma'am, I'm speaking. I didn't cut in on you for this last 20 minutes that we don't heard from you.
I'm sorry.
Well, whoever this is that's speaking, I haven't cut in on you.
My
I'll
name
you
is Carla.
What you have to say. Okay.
And I will challenge
you any day to
go over this Bible with my minister, your minister, and me.
I've been over the Bible with the Church of God in Christ. I've been over the Bible with the Baptist ministers.
Well, then you still must be lost because there's no way in the world you can read the Bible and interpret it a whole other way.
Because that's your interpretation from your generation.
No, I'm going
from
by what
who
the Bible
you
says.
Learned from, from who you learned from and their interpretation
of the Bible. I
learned
from the Church
Bible.
Of Christ, ma'am. Church
right,
of Christ.
Exactly. So
from
you learned from the
Ohio,
Church of Christ.
Straight on down to Phoenix
second,
City, Alabama.
One second. You learned from the Church of Christ.
I have never
one,
met a Church of Christ minister or a Church
ma'am.
Of Christ member that is
I'm
talking all
Christ
different
member.
And crazy. We all say
I'm not,
the same
I'm
thing.
Not a Church of
crazy,
I'm not
ma'am.
A Church of Christ
You're raising
member.
Your voice.
I just had to
right.
call in and say that one thing because
well,
I'm not going
to.
I'm going to avoid
from,
avoid saying babbling over
from.
The Bible.
Let
so
me,
you
let
have
me.
A blessed day, and whenever
you
you're
too.
Ready to
God
challenge the Church of Christ, the show minister, and our minister, then we can sit down and talk. Thank
I'm
you
not
so
a
much,
Church
Terry.
Of Christ member.
I enjoyed
your
you're
arguing
I
with someone who's not a Church of Christ
and you have
member.
To
okay, you wow. can hang up. But what I was
Hello?
Saying was, I'm not a Church yeah. of Christ member, so I don't have to believe in their interpretation of the Bible. I have spoken with Church of Christ members. I have spoken with Church of God in Christ members. I've spoken with non-denominational Baptists. I can go on and on, African Methodist Episcopal, you know. But the issue still stands. What I say is that everybody has their own interpretation. But their interpretation of the Bible comes from the person who taught them interpretation of the Bible.
That's it.
So
that's
it's
the Bible
passed down generationally, you know.
Yeah, it's
so
a
course,
mindset.
If, I'm sorry?
It's their mindset.
Yeah, right.
And
so, of
and
course, if I was born
like
in the 70s, right, if I was born in the 70s and I'm speaking the Bible with somebody who was born in the 50s, of course we're going to have a whole different interpretation.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because my interpretation comes from what I see in my generation. You know, their interpretation may come from what they've seen in my mother's generation.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's just the way it is. And then we have so many different denominations of Christianity. Everybody took it and twisted it their own way to make their, you know, it fit their own religious belief. So I'm not here to argue religion. I'm just saying what I started from. I didn't mean to start this huge thing, but
yeah,
what
did.
I started from was a whole lot of us young people who read these scriptures in our Bible studies. And we've discussed this, and all of my friends, we all of all different denominations. And we discussed this. These are the findings that we came up with as far as our interpretation and as it relates to our generation, which you are part of. So,
well,
of course, the elder, like I said, my grandmothers, they wouldn't believe that. They wouldn't come and see you.
Well,
they
let me just say this.
You.
Let me just what break in here. You know, this just proves to me that Elder Gregory D. Patterson, we're going to have to bring him back because our
yes,
time is running
Lord.
Out and people still want to talk, and I love it. But you know something? We ain't going to get off this air until you sing a song for us a cappella. You done had 2 hours to juice up your throat, so you got to
oh,
make
Jesus.
It do what it do. Like Aaron came up there and he busted out. So we're waiting on you, Elder Gregory D. Patterson, to sing us a tune. And then I want you to tell us how to get your book and how to get in contact with you. And as well, people know, to get a hold of me, authorist Terry Lyle, go to my website at www.terrylyle.com. And also you'll find my work on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all your local retailers. I'm also your radio host every Thursday at 7 p.m. Called Author's Corners on WML, DJ Mel Entertainment Radio, and as well every Friday right here at 7:30 on Unmasked with Author's Terry Lyle. But with that being said, we're going to kick it back to Gregory D. Patterson. We want him to sing us a tune and blow it out and do like your friend did, baby.
I've had trials and tribulations, unexpected situations, living here below. I had friends to turn their backs on me and leave me standing in the cold. And I've been hurt in the church as I attempt to do God's work by people who call themselves saved. Many times I felt like giving up, but the Spirit said, Greg, you can't. He meant it for my good. He meant it for my good.
He brought me out without a doubt. I knew that he would. Now I know no defeat. I'm strong when I'm weak. My God gave me a song. Now I must sing on. The devil meant it for bad, but I'm so glad. God meant it for my good. He meant it for my good. He meant it for my good. He brought me out without a doubt. I knew that he would. Now I know no defeat. I'm strong when I'm weak. My God gave me a song, and I must sing on. The devil meant it for bad, but I'm so glad. God meant it for my good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah!
You being here, and that's what we need to understand. You know, a lot of times things we go through, you know, we don't understand why we're going through it, but God meant it for our good, because he can see beyond our sight, know what we're going to follow and go at, come in contact with ahead of us. So I just thank God that he brung you through when you was on death's bed with your kidney disease. I thank God that he put it in your heart to administer to everyone. I thank God that he gives you the need and the want to share his gospel. I thank you for your ministry that keeps you going from here to there, north to south, east to west. Gregory, I just thank you for taking that time to be here. You know, everybody's opinions are not the same, you know, and one thing I don't want to get caught up into is political or religious disputes. I believe myself strongly. You go in the Bible, read it for yourself. If there's any confusion, ask for the power or the wisdom of discernment. And God, you know, just pray about it. God would make clear what he needs you to know and open the veils that may be on some people's eyes. And I pray that everybody make it when we come before judgment. But, baby, I just thank you so much for being here. And I know that, you know, 2 hours, I thought we were going to have a hard time getting to the end of 2 hours. Man, we done wrapped up so fast, and we still talking. But Elder Gregory D. Patterson, let everybody know how they can contact you. Let them know about your book that's out. Let them know about the book that's coming, when you are expected to hit, you know, and keep me informed, as you know, because I can always bring you back on this show or off this corner, because you're a dynamic young man and you're doing some things. And I want to wish you a happy 36th birthday. And for all you females out there who haven't had the pleasure of seeing what this brother looks like, he's fun. Mm-hmm. And when he decides that he wants to marry, y'all would be lucky to find a man of God. Okay, how you doing, Greg? Tell us what we need to know before we get up out of here.
Well, of course, you can find me on Facebook, Arthur Gregory DeMond Patterson, Twitter, RareBoy33. He took the pain. He left the memories. I mean, that's out. But like I said, that's on back order. For this conversation, I wrote a book explicitly for this conversation. I mean, it deals with, if you can survive the church, then you can survive the world. And I'm actually excited about the conversation that we had tonight, because it deals with exactly the conversation that we had. I mean, because there are so many unlearned people that are in the church, and that's the reason why it's such a division in the church today. And if we can just get back to the basics and really seek God and seek the Bible for what God is really saying, and the Word of God told us that if my people, which are called by my name, would just humble themselves, and that's the thing. I mean, it's, you know, we got to humble ourselves and seek the face of God, and then we'll be healed from heaven. Yeah.
Right. So, that's right. That's a very...
This next miracle, I mean, it's for the naysayers. So I'm so excited about them. But the play that I'm in next year is called Stop the Funeral Before They Bury Me Alive, and I'm so excited to be a part of that cast.
Oh, you'll be in a play? Or when is that going to be, and where?
I'm in a state. We're rehearsing now. We're rehearsing now. I mean, it's starting out in New York at the Apollo. And then I think we're touring 18 different cities.
Oh, wow. Are y'all coming south? Because I would like to fly in or get the chance to see it and meet you up close and personal and give you a great Christianly hug, you know, say, hey, brother, keep doing what you're doing.
We have Nashville and Atlanta, and Miami, if I'm not mistaken, is one of the tour dates as well.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question about Atlanta. When you get to Atlanta, is it possible I can get VIP backstage passes?
Sure. Yeah, I don't know if
you
know
I'm
Andre
holding you to it because everybody out there listening, he said that he's going to give me a heads up when he get to Atlanta. He's going to have VIP tickets for me and my guests, and I'm going to come and see the brother do his thing. If I got to pay, I don't care. When up close and personal.
That's it. I mean, you just look up with Andre Gates, and I mean, I'll give you his information. He's a personal assistant for Miss Dottie Peoples. He's my assistant as well, so we'll make sure we take care of you.
Please do that. I'm just speechless. Thank you so much, because I gotta let everybody know that every time I've asked Gregory to do something for me, you know, he's been there. He come through. You know, he supported me. He supported my friend Miss Gail Delicious Johnson, was on her show. You know, this brother, you know, when you ask, when you reach out to him, he reaches back, and that's so important. That when somebody reach out, you reach back. You know, and I want Miss Gail, this is Johnson, to give her shout-outs. I want Miss Shalonda to give her shout-outs. I'm going to give my shout-outs as well, and then we're going to end it with Elder Gregory D. Patterson giving his shout-outs, letting everybody know who he wants to say hi to, and we just thank you for supporting him tonight. So starting with Gail, Miss Lady, who would you like to give a shout-out this evening to?
I'd like to make a shout-out to my girl Rhea up there in Chicago where it's 1 degree. And everybody down here, you know, in the DMV, shout-out to Mitch Cradle, Anthony Commodore, my cast that was in the movie with me, Where Are You At? You know, I just like to thank everybody who listens to my show as well as my good girlfriend, authoress Terry E. Lyles, and everybody who made it into this new year that can hear my voice. God bless you, and those that didn't make it, may you rest in peace.
Yeah, we're counting down the ticker. It's telling us we got 60 seconds. So if you're finished, then we'll start it with Shalonda. Anything else you got to say, dear?
Oh, well, okay. My show will resume on the 8th of this month, and I'm having the fabulous authoress Terry E. Lyles as my guest, the first guest of the 2014. So you want to be there. That's Wednesday the 8th at 10:30 p.m. on Delicious Talk Radio.
All right now. Shalonda, would you like
I'd
to say
like
something,
to
give a shout-out before we go to Elder Gregory D. Patterson?
Yes, I'd just like to give a shout-out to all of my family who I had a wonderful holiday with and was blessed to be well enough to go to Baltimore and spend the new year with my brother, which we hadn't done in years. So that was a really nice experience to go up there for the night. And I also want to give a shout-out, which I never do, to my Howard University family. We worked so hard down there, and through the snowstorms and everything, we just worked really hard, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to all my friends and family at Howard University.
Yes, and I'd like to give a shout-out to my family members, Terrence Bellamy, Irene Motes, Michelle Motes, Cassandra Motes, Pat Robertson, Shepard Robertson, my mother Lola Matthews, my brother Stanley and Philip Robertson, and my sister Sylvia, and my daughter Nicole, son-in-law Michael, grandkids Aguar, Jimenez, Javon, Jacote, Jabari, Shania, stepdaughter L'Oreal. I just want to say I love you all. I lost a few people this past year recently, right around Thanksgiving, so our family's still trying to heal, but, you know, we got to take what we learned this past year and not bring some things with us in this brand new year. Let's do it right. Let's seek God's face first in all that we do. And I want to give this opportunity for Elder Gregory D. Patterson, who is my friend, who is a man of God that we love, and I just appreciate him. Anytime I call, he puts me in the schedule, and it's a busy guy, but he fits me in the schedule, and he humbles me with that, you know. And Elder Gregory D. Patterson, is anybody that you'd like to give a shout-out to?
I like to give a shout-out to my grandmother. My grandmother has to have major surgery on Tuesday, so ask that you guys will just pray for my grandmother. She's my backbone. Anybody that knows me knows that I love my grandmother. And I give a shout-out to all the callers that call in tonight. I mean, without you, I couldn't do what I do. I mean, you keep me motivated. You keep me thinking, and I thank God for everyone that called in to encourage. Even those that called in to challenge us, I mean, I thank God for you as well, because you're going to cause us to go back and to dig deeper into the scriptures. And, you know, I really thank God for this platform. I count it not robbery.
Yeah, well, I need you, before we go off of our last song for the day, I need you to take us home in prayer.
Yes, ma'am. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this fellowship, God. We thank you, God, for coming together, God, as one body in Christ, God. And we pray tonight, God, that we've said or done something, God, that would allow you to get the glory, God. And if we've done or said anything to take your glory, God, we give it back to you, God, right now in the name of Jesus, God. And, oh, God, we just ask you, God, tonight, God, to open up our understanding, God. For, God, you said, God, that they that worship you must worship you in the spirit and in the truth, God. And, oh, God, we seek you for the truth tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we ask you, God, to bless every caller, God, bless every listener, God, in the name of Jesus, God. These are the blessings we ask in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That was powerful. I just thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days, and some sleepless nights, but when I look around, yeah, I think things over. All of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low. I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord, Lord, why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me. Although my way, they can't see, so I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. Lord has been so good to me. Have you been good? To me, more than this whole world, all you could ever be. He's been so good to me. You know what he did? Yeah. He dried all of my tears away. Turn my midnight in today, so I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I've been lied on, but thank you, Lord. I've been talked about, but thank you, Lord. I've been misunderstood, but thank you, Lord. You might be sick, body rocking with pain, but thank you, Lord, that feels
knows I do. Don't know where the money coming from, but thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More than this whole world, all you could ever be. He's been so good. He's been so good. He's been so good. So good. So good. So good. So good. Tell me, 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 me. Never stop you from crying. Shine my midnight in today.
Well, that was Paul Jones, I Won't Complain. We just concluded our first show of the new year, 2014, with Elder Gregory G. Patterson. And we had a great time, and this is a brand new year. And I just want to send some blessings out to some people that's hurting. I just lost my first cousin, Runette Moats, recently, and her family, Terrence Bellamy, daughters, Irene and Michelle, sisters, Cassandra and Pat, and a host of family members. We're all giving our prayers that we can continue to heal and rest on the word that God is everything. So forget what you might be going through, and things might seem harder than you can handle. God is still on a throne. Praise him, and prayer changes things. And we want to thank everybody that called in, everybody that listened in from north to south, east to west. We want to thank you all. We love you. And in the name of Jesus, you know, this show was anointed. We had the powerful prayer that was concluded by Elder Gregory D. Patterson. And we want to thank everybody that tuned in. And I want to say goodbye to my lovely friend Gail Delicious Johnson and my beautiful co-host Shalonda. You know, thank you for hanging in there with me again for another great show. And I'll call us. I thank all of y'all for being here. So goodbye and another episode of Unmasked. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. You know, check me out on my website, www.terrylyle.com. And that's it. And we're out of here.
Good night.
Good night.
Different beast.